morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week, I'm talking about the God of the Old Testament versus the God of the New Testament. And very often in our culture today, people will try to put those against each other as if the God of the Old Testament is angry and mean and wrathful, and the God of the New Testament is kind and forgiving and does not judge or punish anyone. And we're beginning to see that that's just simply not the case. If you've actually read the Old Testament, you see that God is a God of love throughout the Old Testament. And if you've read all of the New Testament, you know that there are very graphic depictions of God's wrath and judgment in the New Testament. There are both things, God's wrath and God's love, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is no contradiction. How do those go together, God's wrath and God's love? Well, we're working our way through that. I'm looking at some Old Testament texts to start off with. First, we saw that God proclaims to the Israelites when he reveals himself. This is the description he gives of himself in the Old Testament. He says, "The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." This is Exodus 34, verse 6. So that's God's primary characteristic. Love, graciousness, forgiveness, compassion, slow to anger. Yet, Exodus 34, verse 7 says, "He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." Now, that verse just strikes me as being unfair. I think strikes most readers as that doesn't sound fair. Why, God, if you are slow to anger, if you're compassionate and gracious, do you punish the children and their children to the third and fourth generation for the sin of the parents? And the Bible explains that. That's kind of the heading. But what does it actually mean? Because certainly, God, you don't punish a child for something that their parent did. That doesn't sound fair. Well, that's not what the verse is saying. So I told you I'd give you an explanation to this. Let me read from Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel the prophet says, "The one who sins is the one who will die." And this is Ezekiel quoting God. So it is not that God punishes someone for the sin of someone else. It is the one who sins is the one who will die. "The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them." That's the principle in Ezekiel 18, verse 20. It's the soul who sins who is punished for their iniquity, for their sin. Now, how do those two ideas go together? I believe what God is saying in Exodus 34 is that when a child joins in with the sin of the parent, and you see several examples of this in the Bible, then they are punished along with the parent. The entire group is punished. And to the third and fourth generation basically means those who are living at the time. In other words, if a father is committing a sin and his living son is committing a sin, and his living son is committing a sin. There, you know, you've got grandpa, son, or father, and grandchild, son. You know, they're all joining together. They're old enough to be held accountable for their actions, and they're joining together in this sin. Then they're all going to be punished for the sin, to the third and even to the fourth generation. And so you are guilty along with your parent when you join in with that sin. But God is not saying that you can repent and turn to God and be fleeing from the sin of your father and grandfather and great-grandfather and yet be punished for your sin. Nowhere in the Bible do we see that interpretation of the verse upheld. All right, so I want you to keep that in mind because we're going to look at a passage by Jesus later on in the week. Let me today continue to build up how gracious God is in the Old Testament. If we just had the Old Testament to go on and we were to say, what is God like? We would have to agree with God's own description that he reveals of himself in the Old Testament, that he is compassionate and gracious. So, for instance, we see many references to this in the Old Testament. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We see David experience God's forgiveness, his love, his compassion. David, yes, was punished at times for his sin, but yet David could not blame God for that. David knew he was at fault. David knew that he needed that punishment to keep him close to God, to keep him where he was focusing on following God and his laws. David is the one who wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a psalm, beautiful psalm, that is so popular even today. It's found in the Old Testament. David just again and again praises God for his love and compassion and how he provides for him and takes care of him. So that's Psalm 23. Now let's talk about Jonah. Jonah's an interesting prophet. Jonah, of course, is the one, and he's in the Old Testament, and he's the one who is called to preach to the Ninevites, to the probably the biggest and most wicked city of his day. God says, go and preach to the Ninevites that in 40 days I'm going to destroy them. And you think, okay, yeah, there's God of the Old Testament, judging God. He's going to just destroy Nineveh. And Jonah doesn't want to go and preach that message. Jonah doesn't want to go preaching, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. I mean, imagine if God told you to go preach in a large city somewhere around in our area, maybe Charlotte or Charleston or Atlanta or something like that. You probably wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go preaching that everyone is going to be destroyed in 40 days. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not popular. You're not going to win, approval points by telling everyone that God's about to kill everyone. So Jonah flees. He runs away, and God sends a storm in judgment, and Jonah says, throw me overboard to all the other men on the ship so that you don't drown, and then the sea is calm, and God sends a great fish to swallow Jonah. God is compassionate to Jonah. God spares Jonah's life, and God has the fish spit Jonah back up on the shore, and then Jonah goes and preaches in Nineveh. And what does he preach? He preaches 40 days, and God's going to destroy you. And what's interesting, though, is that God doesn't destroy them. The people repent. The people recognize they have been wicked. They have been violent. They have mistreated the poor. They have oppressed people. They have been exceedingly wicked. And they mourn before God, and they repent, and they express their sorrow over their sin. And God decides not to punish them. He gives them forgiveness because they repent. And then we learn why Jonah really didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. It had nothing to do with that he didn't want to give a harsh message. No, Jonah says himself that he's mad that God doesn't punish the Ninevites. Jonah says to God, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah says, God, I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew this was going to happen. Because I know you're gracious and compassionate, and I knew if I went to Nineveh and preached against them that they would repent, and then you would probably go ahead and forgive them and not destroy them. And it makes me mad. Jonah wanted justice. Jonah wanted to see God's wrath poured out on Nineveh, and he knew that that's not how it was going to go, because he's like, I know God is a gracious and compassionate God. I don't want to see Nineveh get mercy. They're my enemies. They've done terrible things to my people. I want them to get wrath. So in the Old Testament, we see this picture vividly portrayed in Jonah, but it's in many other places, that the scandal of God in the Old Testament is not his wrath and justice and judgment. It's that he's too loving and gracious and compassionate for us as human beings, if we're really honest, generally speaking. And I'll pick up here next time. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.